guys. You know, smaller crowds, it always reminds me of a situation when a traveling preacher, this tent revivalist preacher, was set up his tent and had all of his flyers out, and only one person came. And he asked the person, he said, "Well, what do you think we should do?" And the guy said, "Well," he's an old farmer, he said, "Well, even if there's only one cow out in the pasture, I still need to give him his food." So we went back up to the stage, and he preached a fiery sermon. He laid it all out there. He waved his hands. He gave it all he's got. And after he was done, he came up to the guy, and he said, "Well, what'd you think?" He said, "Well, I do feed that one cow, but I don't feed him the whole load. So I'll just keep it easy on you guys here this morning." But I am excited about today's topic. After learning about Lillian Trasher, I was actually a little bit ashamed of myself that I hadn't known a thing about her before now. Hadn't even heard the name before until now. I hadn't even known of anything that she did in Egypt and starting the first orphanage there at all. It was clueless. But her sacrificial labor of love had become well known before she died. It's one of those rare cases where somebody is actually honored before they die. Yeah. A Reader's Digest article and even a documentary was made of her life. One reporter summarized her life as one of faith, faithfulness, and patience. And so I'm going to use those descriptors in an attempt to tell you about Lillian Trasher. The Nile Mother is what they nicknamed her. The Nile Mother. So pray with me. Lord Jesus, if these guys are like me, clueless as to who Lillian Trasher is, but she is well known in heaven. Very well known. She is enjoying your presence and the presence of angels and the lives of believers who have died throughout history. She's in their presence right now rejoicing. What an amazing woman. I now appreciate it and her effect, and I want to imitate it. And these guys, this is the first time. I pray that, God, that you would spare us from distractions. It's easy to get distracted, thinking about this, that, your phone, all that. Miss out on this half an hour of actually learning about somebody new and about a life that you had never heard of before. I pray, God, spare us from distractions. Sometimes those distractions are inside. I know how it is in me. My own mind goes places, and I'm not here in the moment. God, help us to stay in the moment. Help us to reap all that you would have for us at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let me get you up to speed with a bit of background about this amazing woman's life. Okay, so she was born in Jacksonville, Florida. Yeah, okay. And I'm already to the next one. But go back to that one, because I want people to see a picture of her and just leave it there for a while. She was born in Jacksonville, Florida in 1887. But she grew up in Georgia. Yep. Georgia was on her mind. So she was a Southern girl through and through. Okay? And she was quite an artist as well. So her dream job was to be a sketch artist for a newspaper. And while riding a train to an interview to see her dream come true, she randomly, you know how that can go, randomly met a woman who ran an orphanage of 100 children on, as she put it, on nothing but faith. And what I mean by that, and what she means by that, is that she followed the lifestyle of George Mueller. Some of you may be familiar with that name. George Mueller didn't do any active support raising, but rather he trusted in God to provide for their needs. Now you might think, well, that's always nice if it's just you. But we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lives. To trust God to provide for your needs without any requests, any efforts to get the word out or to ask for money. That is running the orphanage by faith. And this woman was doing that. And remember, she said 100 children, 100 orphans, and she cared for them in that way. Okay, so she met this woman, pretty profoundly impacted. And this woman boldly invited Lillian to work with her at the orphanage. And she said this. Let's go on to the, you know, that one's not as important. So let's go on to this next quote. This is what she said. She said, "There is no end to what you can do if you follow God's call and trust Him with the results." And so this woman, Miss Perry, said that. Now that's Lillian Trasher in the picture. But Miss Perry said this to Lillian. Well, those words turned out to be prophetic. And this bizarre combination of illness and miscommunication prevented Lillian from getting her dream job that she was otherwise slotted for. She had been hired, but the message didn't go through to the person actually doing the hiring, and so she didn't get hired. It was quite an interesting series of events. So Lillian ends up finding herself at the doorstep of the Faith Orphanage. That is, of course, after a profound and private conversion, where she prayed to receive Christ at this fallen tree. And these are the words in her diary, and these words are now legendary. Let's bring up that slide for that one. Yeah, she said, "Lord, I want to be your little girl." And then in bold words she wrote, "Lord, if ever I can do anything for you, just let me know and I'll do it." That she meant it. She meant it. And so that begins this story of an amazing faith. And that's what we'll start with first, is her faith. So her life of faith was going to challenge every single word of that commitment. And it ought to challenge every single one of us in our life. This is our time. This is our chance at life. Her faith ought to challenge our own. Okay, so her first recorded answer to prayer was when she prayed for some shoes. So she was working at the Faith Orphanage. She needed some shoes, so she prayed. All right? Well, later that day, a pair of men's shoes showed up at the orphanage, and she proudly wore them, even though she was heckled for doing so, because they were obviously men's shoes that she was wearing. But she said she wore them proudly because God gave them to her. And I wonder to myself if passing that kind of test of faith and thankfulness is what moved God's heart to do so much more than that. But that was the first test. It was a little test, and I think she passed the test. And so the story goes on. So she went to hear a missionary from India speak about his ministry, and while he was sharing, she wrote in her diary, she uncontrollably wept and wept through the whole thing. She couldn't stop herself from just weeping. And she wrote in her diary, "If everything is so right, why do things feel so wrong?" Well, the answer, she concluded, was that God was calling her to go to the mission field, especially Africa. But she didn't even know where in Africa. For some reason, she had this sense that she was to go to Africa. Well, the problem was she was engaged to be married. Within 10 days. She was going to be married within 10 days. And after talking to her fiancé, he didn't feel the same desire to go to Africa. He said he would wait for her, but she felt like she would never be coming back. So she wrote this, God has called me to be a missionary, and I can't refuse him. Not even for time. So she broke off the engagement. She said, to this day, it was the hardest decision of her life. She passed the test. This is an amazing faith. You're just getting your feet wet with what kind of woman this is. She broke off the engagement within 10 days. Some of us, I know I was like, what can I do? It's out of my hands. It's only 10 days away. You know, there's nothing I can do about it. Wow. The stories I could tell you guys. Stories I could tell you about Lillian. Even to the point, the stories even start right off the bat. I mean, even to the point of where she got onto the boat to headed for Egypt is a story. It's a book in and of itself. Every step of the way, every need of the way was paved by faith in God's ability to provide when you are intent on doing God's will for your life. Which, for me, guys, that was the kicker of this whole story. I often, this is how it is for me, I want God to provide for me all the time. You know, I'm always praying, right? Praying without ceasing, always praying for this need or that need. But far too often, it's so that my will can be done. You know, it's so my will can be satisfied. It's the things that I want for my life that I'm praying for. You know, it's a completely different deal when you're praying for $100 so you can, let's say, enjoy a meal at a restaurant or maybe get a bill off of your back instead of accomplishing what you believe God wants to do in and through your life. And that's what directed and fashioned her prayers was her prayers were for what God wanted to do in her life, which she was convinced God wanted to do. Listen to some of these incredible stories. By the time Lillian was to leave for Egypt, okay, so she's in the States, she's about to leave, she was $60 short of the fare for the ship ride. She had already sent her farewell letters, and her sister from California, who was not quite on the same page as Lillian in this whole living by faith lifestyle, so she was a little bit uncertain about it, but she was going to come because she wanted to keep an eye on her sister and make sure she got to Africa safely. That was her plan, to be her travel companion. Well, it was the day. The ship is leaving that day. She's short by $60. She can't get the fare. And she was at this mission house. She's the only one there. And there's a knock at the door. Always be aware of knocks on the door. You had a knock on the door too in your story. Remember that one? The knock on the door, and it was this person who was struggling with a delivery. Yeah. Beware of knocks on the door. There's a knock on the door. And so she answers the door. It's this young woman. And this young woman begins to pepper her with all sorts of questions about her heart, about her plans. And after she got, I guess, a sufficient amount of information, this girl, that she didn't even know, drops to her knees right there in front of her and begins thanking God for providing for all of Lillian's needs. Not that she had any idea what Lillian's needs were, but she prayed that She prayed a prayer of thanks that God was providing. She got up, gave her some money, and left. She opens it up, and you already know, $60. $60, exactly. You know, there's a verse that Lillian held on to with all 10 of her fingers. And this verse was Philippians 4:19. It says, "And this same God who takes care of me," Paul is writing, "the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us through Christ Jesus." That was a promise for her, and she believed it. So, on November 10th of 1910, that's what year it is, 1910, try to put yourself there, Lillian and her sister Jenny sailed into Alexandria, Egypt, into their harbor. And what a strange new world this was. She said it was like a scene right out of the Bible, you know? And she was just mesmerized by how interesting and foreign and beautiful everything looked. But her heart and her mind were on the city of Assut. Assut is where a mission house was, and that's where she was going to go and rendezvous. They were going to welcome her to Egypt as a missionary with them. And so she's eager to get to Assut and begin her life as a missionary in Africa in answer to God's call. Well, Assut was a city that was the home of Coptic Christians, which is why Christians were welcomed there in an otherwise Muslim nation where Christians were not welcome. Now, tradition holds that St. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, written by John Mark, actually founded the first Christian church in Egypt. And his legacy were called the Coptic Christians. So, that's where she's at. That's where she's doing ministry. It's now February 1911. February of 1911. We're talking a little over 3 months. Okay? She's there for a little over 3 months. And guess what happens? What happens? There's a knock on the door. Okay. So, there's this guy there desperately looking for help with a young woman who is struggling to stay alive. Well, it was evening. It was evening. It was dangerous. Nobody else. I mean, there's probably 5 or 6 missionaries in this house. None of the other missionaries would go. Except, of course, Lillian. And so Lillian was the only one. The entire mission house was willing to go. And down she went, these dark alleys, into a completely unfamiliar ghetto part of town. And what Lillian finds is a 15-year-old mother and her baby who was starving to death, and so was the mother. In fact, minutes after arriving, the mom goes into shock and died right there in front of her. And this mom's final words, her dying breath, was to Lillian to take her baby. Well, Lillian didn't have the freedom to take an orphan into the mission house. She'd only been there 3 months, you know. There were no orphanages at all in Egypt. That's just not a thing. Christians are to blame, if you want to use that word, for orphanages. When you see an orphanage, thank God. Because it's only because of Christians that there's orphanages around. And so, there are no orphanages in Egypt. That's not a thing. So, she said that she simply couldn't. Well, the grandma of this baby was there. And she said this, "Well, it's only a girl anyway. What does it matter if she dies?" I don't know what that does to you guys. But for Lillian, hearing those words ignited indignation in her. And so she took the baby and she ran off to the mission house. And as she got there with this baby, she began to remove the baby's clothes. She was disgusted by the bony appearance of the baby. And her skin was scarred and even rotting. This baby's skin was actually rotting and smelled horrible. But she didn't want to show it, not even to this infant. And so she hummed a hymn while she bathed the baby. Well, this baby cried incessantly, wouldn't stop. And it was affecting the entire mission house. Nobody could get an adequate sleep. And so the reverend, who was the manager of the mission house, demanded that she take the baby back. Back where? Where was she to take it? There was no back to take her to. So she refused to abandon this baby to her death. And so the good reverend kicked her out and said, don't ever come back. I don't know where these stories come from. Why people would ever think that is a Christian reaction and response. But that's what he did. From what I read in this book, the guy maybe had a type A personality. And he maybe felt his authority was being threatened. But anyway, that's what he told her. Kicked her out, told her not to come back. And so there she was, alone in an Arabic world where a single woman in 1911, it was a death warrant. You'll either be killed or starved to death. That's your future. She wandered through the streets with this baby when she remembered a tall, skinny building that had a for rent sign on it. She found it miraculously and rented it, and that's how the first orphanage in Egypt started. By getting kicked out of your mission house. Not all bad things are bad things. Okay. Her faithfulness. When you guys hear the word faithful, what comes to mind? Give me some feedback on that. What comes to mind when you hear the word faithful or faithfulness? Being true to your vows. Being true to God. Being loyal is a great word. Great word. Okay. Faithful or faithfulness is a compound word, putting together the word faith and full. So you could say that faithfulness, a definition, is someone who is full of faith. But it carries with it not just, you know, this spontaneous or a momentary eruption of faith. It carries with it what you guys are mentioning, this constant presence of faith. Not just an eruption of faith, but a lifestyle of faith. Well, Lillian's walk with God was truly a faithful one. A large crowd gathered to watch Lillian and her sister Jenny move into this shack of a building on February 10th, 1911. After they moved in with their few meager belongings, Lillian read this in Psalm 37. Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent. They will receive an inheritance that lasts forever. They will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. And it was to be her promise that she believed God for through thick and thin. Good times and bad. She held on to this as a promise from God to her. One, I will add, that will be severely tested time and again. And even though it was bitterly hard to believe that, at times, she believed it. But Lillian's faithfulness went beyond taking God at His word, which ought to challenge us all right here, right now. I mean, how many of us have promises that we then later throw in the garbage bin because we concluded it didn't work out for us? I mean, that's a pretty big thing. But Lillian's faithfulness goes beyond taking God at His word. She had such an awareness of the moving of the Holy Spirit that she could sense when God wanted her to do something. This is the stuff that challenges me the most. It's like, God, I want me some of this. Listen to some of these. Like before that knock that came at the door, leading Lillian to her first orphan, that knock, she wrote in her journal previously, right before that she felt like something was going to go wrong that day, as if God was preparing her heart for something earth-shaking. Get this example. It's now 1914, okay? We're talking 3 years later. 1914. Lillian is now caring for 8 children in this narrow building, and it's no longer sufficient. It's not working out. It's too small. She needed a larger house. But what else was going on in 1914? World history. World War I was going on, and that was complicating life for everybody. All right? So it's now July of 1915. Okay, she's dealing with this for a year or so, and a friend tells her of a property for sale on the other side of the Nile River. It's about a half an acre piece of land for £50. Okay, so Egypt was controlled by the British, so they were using the pounds. That's about $250. Well, with only faith in God, that God wants this, she was convinced that this was God's will for her life. And so based on the faith that this is what God wanted, she said she would buy it and that she would have the money the way it's described in the book. She said, well, I'll have the money in a week. Well, how much money did she have? She had £1. And it cost £50, okay? But she said to herself, well, didn't the Bible say that God would supply all my needs? Didn't it say that? And so, her biography records that she felt this urge. I mean, this event just happens. It's like boom, boom, boom. She felt an urge to go somewhere, to do something. So she hired a donkey and took off, not knowing where she's supposed to go. You know, like, she's just going like Abraham or something. So as she was going, she would pray over and over again. She would say, show me where to go. Lead me, Lord. And she just kept saying that over and over. Well, traveling to nowhere, she remembered a man who was curious about the orphanage and had asked all sorts of questions. And he was a businessman, and he had given her his business card. And she just remembered that he said that if you ever need anything, let me know. Well, she decided that's what God wanted to tell her. So it wasn't like she was actually going to a destination. She just needed to obey God in this step, and then God was going to give her the rest of the puzzle. You know, it's kind of like solving a mystery. You got to have one piece before you're going to get the next piece. And so she honored and obeyed God, and He gave her the rest of the piece. You need to go to this guy. So, doing so was a major undertaking. And I'm really going to, believe it or not, I'm making this story short. It was a major undertaking. She had to hire donkey riders for protection, and she almost drowned crossing the flooded Nile River. And it looked like she wouldn't make it to the appointment on time, that she had to get it all arranged, because he was an important person, I guess. And he was going to miss it. He was going to miss the appointment because of all the obstacles that ran in to their way. And so she was afraid she was going to miss the opportunity to meet with this man, when all of a sudden the donkeys started to gallop. Donkeys galloping. I didn't know it was a thing. It was, they wouldn't even stop. They started galloping, and they did not stop until they got to this place, and she got there right on time. Yeah. Well, as she shared the story with the businessman, his eyes light up when he heard about the opportunity, and he gave her the money to buy the property, which she didn't even know if he'd do that, but he did. And all of that was from an urge to go somewhere, to do something. It's now 1933. Okay? The orphanage has upwards to 700 children. 700, you know? You think seven kids, oh, you got your hands full. Think about 700, okay? 700 children. Lillian, as you can imagine, any woman would understand, was mentally and physically exhausted. What else is happening in 1933, world history people? The Great Depression is happening. And the orphanage was deep in debt. Businesses would no longer offer them credit. She concluded that all the children would have to be sent away. Somewhere, relatives, friends. The strain and the needs were simply too much for her to bear anymore. So she announced to the children and to the staff, and her staff, by the way, were widows. Oftentimes, the husband would die, the widow would show up with their children half starved to death. They had nowhere to go. And so she began to develop a ministry to the widows as well. And the widows then became her helpers and her staff. So she gathered them all together and she communicated with them that they would need to be sent away. Well, in response, these kids just started bawling. I mean, they just started weeping, and just the commotion was deafening. And yet, as loud as it was, she writes in her diary, she hears one of the boys in the back fall to his knees and begin to pray. And he was praying that God would not send them away. And then all the other kids, they just started praying that God would resolve this situation somehow. And it's recorded that they were simply imitating what they saw Lillian do hundreds of times. And so she said, "What now, Lord? What now?" She said, then an unexplainable calm came over her. And she simply knew that it was God. And so she announced to them, "I can't send you away. We are family. If we do without, we do without together. We all need to pray together that God will provide our needs." We need to have that heart as a church. Well, the next day, it's lunchtime. There's no food. She sends a boy to the post office to see if by chance there might be something in the mail. You know how that is? And he comes back and there's a letter from the United States. And in it, during the Great Depression, was $1,000. $1,000 was in it. And she just erupts. "Thank God," she said to her children, "your prayers have been answered." And all 700 kids got to see a real God in real action, in real time, meeting a real need. And it was amazing. What's even more amazing about this letter is that it had originally been addressed to India. But someone at the post office knew about Lillian Trasher and knew that she lived in Egypt. And so they redirected it to Egypt. And it got there on the day that they needed it absolutely the most. That's the kind of stuff. I mean, oftentimes, you know, I don't know if you guys like me. Oftentimes, when I hear amazing stories of provision and providence like that, I miss the fact that there's a lot of seemingly unanswered prayers that went before that. All sorts of trials and worries and pain and sorrow. I mean, they had completely run out of food. I am sure they were praying that God would provide weeks before that with nothing. You know, I'm sure there were tons of times when they wished they had this to eat and they didn't. All they have left is this. Okay? And I miss on that. I hear the story of this miraculous $1,000 in the mail, and I miss that there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of disappointment that went on before God showed up and did something phenomenal. For sure, faithfulness is on full display here. But so is patience. Patiently waiting on God to move. What happened shortly after 1933? The later 30s, early 40s. World War II. This woman lived through it all. World War II had started. The Suez Canal was strategic, and so the Italians attacked Egypt via Libya. Well, the war increased the cost of everything, and the orphanage now was at about 1,000 orphans, and they'd run out. Sending them away was no longer an option. She learned that lesson. So she didn't go there. So what she did is she gathered the children and she put out a call to cease all of your daily chores and to pray for a day that God would provide for them and their desperately needed supplies. You see, God had to provide at this moment, otherwise they would have starved. So these children started praying. And she describes that they were the most sincere prayers she had ever heard with her ears. And they would pray passionately. She said that they were up in their rooms praying till 2:30 in the morning. And then got up and started praying again. Yeah. And so this is no small thing. When we think of a prayer, we think, well, you know, God, sure would like to have some food here, and we move on with our day. They did not. They stayed on their knees. It was phenomenal. Well, that next day, an American ambassador by the name of Alexander Kirk contacted Lillian and said that he would like to meet with her. So she traveled to Cairo to meet with him. And when she did, he told her that Greece had fallen into the hands of the Germans. And so she said, okay, what does that have to do with me? Well, a Red Cross relief ship loaded with supplies for Greece had been turned back because it fell into German hands and had returned to Alexandria and was ordered to dump its cargo into the sea. A sailor on board begged the captain to unload it on shore and give it to Lillian's orphanage. The captain rejected the idea. He was under orders, but the sailor was persistent, saying that Lillian Trasher and her orphanage needs it. And that his mother prays for this orphanage every day. And he would not stop. So the captain gave in and he unloaded it on the shore. The ambassador was wondering if Lillian had need of it. When they got to the warehouse, there were thousands of crates of supplies. Dried food, dried milk, clothing, you name it. And the ambassador offered to pay all of the delivery costs to the orphan. Patiently waiting on God to answer through persistent and passionate prayer. One wonders, if they hadn't have prayed, if Lillian had given up, would this story have ever been told? What stories of God's amazing provision have we missed out on? Because we gave up on God and turned to our own desires. Because of Lillian's faith and faithfulness, patience, patiently waiting on God, there's now an Egyptian city that has established an annual Lillian Trasher Day where businesses give donations to the orphanage, which is still in operation today. Because of her faith and her faithfulness and her patience, the orphans in the beginning were now adults and were becoming powerful assets and influential members to society. And it's now been calculated that close to 10,000 widows and orphans were rescued and their lives changed because of Lillian and her orphanage. 10,000. When she was asked by a reporter what the secret to her success was, she said, "I just stayed. I did not quit. I stayed with the work that God gave me to do." Over the years, and from all the work and pressure of running the orphanage, Lillian developed high blood pressure to the point where it was making her dizzy. Yet she insisted on taking care of her baby. In October of 1961, she was hospitalized in grave condition. She died a few months later in December of 1961, at the age of 74. Doctors said that the cause of death was that her body had worn itself out. Christians and Muslims lined the streets and wept. She was then buried at the orphanage cemetery around the children that she loved so dearly. A reporter once asked Lillian, "What is the thing greater than any other that she was trying to do in Egypt?" And she said this, For these 40 years, I have been trying to live in such a way as to pass something tangible to a new generation. I would like to pass on a disposition of Christian character. I live before these orphans every day the way I want them to live in their home in Egypt. I try to show them how to smile even in the shadows. If they can trust God, everything will be all right. What will your legacy be? Will it be one marked by faith, faithfulness, and patience? Will you still have time to make it one? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for Lillian Trasher. Thank you, God, for her life. Thank you for her legacy. Lives are being blessed and changed forever because of her to this very day. May we be able to have such a boast, if you will, as well. Really, our boast is in the Lord. She would make that very clear. She would be adamant about that. It is not Lillian Trasher that did all of this. It was God that did this, but Lillian Trasher was the vessel. She was a pure, clean vessel that God could use, and He used her. Use us now. Use us, God, in our own situations, in our homes, with our families, at work. That's our time. That's our time to live our lives in such a way that they would see Christ in us. They would want to imitate the kind of lives we live. We need to think about that. I need to think about that. In my tough times, in my tough moments where I'm kind of losing my religion, doing things that really I would now be ashamed of, I need to remember, now's the time. During this crisis and this difficulty, this hardship, this conflict, now's the time to be a believer, to trust God and take Him at His word, to pray and leave it in God's hands, that our lives would have a reverberating effect throughout time, changing lives for eternity. God, I pray that we would be like that. In Jesus' name, amen.